any of it spilling. Then it would look something like this, only not so malevolent. It was flat and blank, but Victor suddenly felt he was being stared at, like something under a lens. Laddie whined. Then Victor realized what it was that was making him uneasy. It wasn't a wall. A wall was attached to something. That thing was attached to nothing. It just hung in the air, billowing and rippling like an image in a mirror, but without the mirror. The light was coming from somewhere on the other side of it. Victor could see it now, a bright pinpoint moving around in the shadow at the far end of the chamber. He set off down the sloping aisle between the rows of stone seats, the dogs plodding along beside him with their ears flat and their tails between their legs. They waded through something that might once have been carpet. It tore wetly and disintegrated under their feet. After they'd gone a few yards, Gaspode said, "I don't know if you've noticed, but some of..."
"I know," said Victor grimly.
"The seats, they're still there."
"I know."
"Occupied."
"I know."
All these people, these things who had been people, sitting in rows. It's as though they were watching a click. He'd almost reached it now. It shimmied above him, a rectangle with length and height, but no thickness. Just in front of it, almost underneath the silver screen, a smaller flight of steps led him down into a circular pit half filled with debris. By climbing onto it, he could see behind the screen to where the light was. It was Ginger. She was standing with one hand held above her head. The torch in it burned like phosphorus. She was staring up at a body on a slab. It was a giant, or at least something like a giant. It might just have been a suit of armour with a sword laid on top of it, half buried in dust and sand.
"It's the thing from the book," he hissed. "Ye gods, what does she think she's doing?"
"I don't think she's thinking anything," said Gaspode.
Ginger half turned and Victor saw her face. She was smiling. Behind the slab, Victor could make out some kind of big, corroded disc. At least it was hanging from the ceiling by proper chains and not defying gravity in such a disconcerting way.
"Right," he said. "I'm going to put a stop to this right now. Ginger!"
His voice boomed back at him from the distant walls. He could hear it bouncing away along caverns and corridors.
"Ginger, Ginger, Ginger, Ginger."
There was a thud of falling rock somewhere far behind him.
"Keep it quiet," said Gaspode. "You'll have the old place down on us."
"Ginger," Victor hissed. "It's me."
She turned and looked at him, or through him, or into him.
"Victor," she said sweetly. "Go away, far away. Go away now, or great harm will befall."
"Great harm will befall," muttered Gaspode. "That's boding talk, that is."
"You don't know what you're doing," said Victor. "You asked me to stop you. Come back. Come back with me now."
He tried to climb up, and something sank under his foot. There was a faraway gurgling noise, a metallic clonk. And then one watery musical note billowed up around him and echoed around the cavern. He moved his foot hurriedly, but only onto another part of the ledge, which sank like the first, producing a different note. Now there was a scraping sound as well. Victor had been standing in a small sunken pit. Now, to his horror, he realized that it was rising slowly to the accompaniment of the blaring notes and the whir and wheeze of ancient machinery. He thrust out his hands and hit a corroded lever, which produced a different chord and then snapped off. Laddie was howling. Victor saw Ginger drop her torch and clap her hands over her ears. A block of masonry leaned slowly out of a wall and smashed on the seats. Fragments of rock pattered down, and a rumbling counterpoint to the blare suggested that the noise was rearranging the shape of the whole cavern. And then it died with a long, strangulated gurgle and a final gasp. A series of jerks and creaks indicated that whatever prehistoric machinery had been activated by Victor had given of its all before collapsing. Silence returned. Victor eased himself carefully out of the music pit, which was now several feet in the air, and ran over to Ginger. She was on her knees, sobbing.
"Come on," he said. "Let's get out of here."
"Where am I? What's happening?"
"I couldn't even begin to explain."
The torch was spluttering on the floor. It wasn't an actinic fire now. It was just a piece of charred and nearly extinguished driftwood. Victor grabbed it and waved it around until a dull yellow flame appeared. "Gaspode," he snapped.
"Yeah?"
"You two dogs lead the way."
"Oh, thank you very much,"